I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about God's Word. I had it in mind to have somebody else to minister this morning. The Lord spoke to my heart, and I try to do what He wants done, regardless of how I feel or what I think. Let's turn over to the book of St. Luke, over to the 11th chapter. Let's read just a little bit. Oh, yeah, Bobby wanted me to dedicate his little baby. And, you know, I think about Lydia, I think about the seller of purple, and how that she received Paul, and how that straightway all of her house was baptized. And it really gives you a good thought, you know, concerning the name. St. Luke, the 11th chapter. I'd like to read a little bit here, and I'd like for you to listen. Sometimes we have need of things like this morning when we were singing that song and we got down to that particular part. I thought, now, Lord, this is somebody is being fed. Something's happening here with these two or three words here. And then, of course, Dale come right along in the same words. She said that something was happening to her. You know what? If you can listen to the Word of God, it will do you so much good. You'll never know how much good it can do you. Brother Jerry came to us to pray for Sister Nancy yesterday evening, and I see she's in church this morning. We're glad that the Lord touched her. You know, God is so good to us, always healing, always giving visions, showing us different things. As a matter of fact, I was telling Betty that the Lord showed me that Brother Little John and them was planning to move. After they had changed their mind and decided to stay, I saw a vision of him, and I saw John and his wife getting ready to leave. And within a day or two, Philip came and told me that they're selling their place and they're leaving. We had a number of other visions, some that I mentioned to Betty that I feel will come to pass. And God's always doing something spiritual, isn't that right? When we come to the house of God like we are right now, we come together. The Bible said that if we'll just be still, that is, be reverent, be tender, be holy. Just be still in the Spirit. You know, not when He says be still, it means don't be anxious for anything, or anxiety. Don't let it build up, or want to go somewhere, or when you want to go eat, when you want to do this, when you want to think that, when you got to get here and you got to get there, and you don't have any interest, you're not being still in the Spirit. So you can sit still in your body. That's not what He's speaking of, but your spirit, hungry and so thirsting after the things of God, it's just relaxed and in peace. It's so still, it's untroubled. Like David spoke of the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That is likening people to waters. The people being still in their spirit, they're not troubled waters. They've got peace. He that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And he's got peace. In the Spirit, there's peace, no troubled waters. And then David said, He leadeth me beside those still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's a restoration of the soul that comes from that. That's the only way to really get in. And if you listen to the words of God, they are words of life. Those are words of life. If you listen to them, they are words of life. And every word should be something that you feed off of. If you cannot absorb those words of life, you are like a dead man. It's like I was telling Philip this morning, little brother Philip Little John. I was talking to him this morning, and I was telling Philip, I said, Philip, you know, if it's a home, if it's land, if it's a human person, whatever it is, an individual, I said, if they love God, if they're a son or daughter of God, they become illuminated, and there's something special about that person. You know, there is an inner life that's coming out. You can see it coming out, that inner life. And you look at them to see them in an extensive way. That is, you see them with a future. You see them with happiness. You see them with everything that heart could wish for, because they are illuminated with the presence of God. And they amount to something in your eyes, you know. They are something. But then, on the other hand, when you see a person that is not a Christian, all you see is a casket. You just take a look and you say, there goes another casket. Another spot on the hill there. It's just a matter of days, their bellies will rotten out with cancer, or or it'll be insanity, or it'll be some bad disease, a hold of my heart trouble, or it'll be some wreck, or you just know that they're corrupt. You know, you look at them and you know that they're just down in the hog pens. You might not see it, naturally speaking, but you know that their spirit has been out in the hog pens and down in all the slop and corruption of this world. And you just see another grave, you know, going by, another coffin go by. But oh, I tell you, when you look at a son and daughter of God, it's just something you see. An eternal God standing in your presence. Something that will be radiant, young, youthful, hopeful, happy, rich throughout eternity. The first verse of the 11th chapter of the book of St. Luke, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. And I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered, but some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoil. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept, garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thine whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, there's so many wonderful things that can be said here concerning this particular thing. Jesus points out here that he not only can cast out devils, but he says your sons also cast out devils. Which makes me to understand and to know that you and I have the same power and authority that Jesus had to cast out devils. And he tells them here, though you accuse me of being Beelzebub or casting them out with the power of Beelzebub, he said, if I do that, then he said, what kind of power is your sons using to cast them out? They're casting out devils also. So you see, you have power to cast out devils. Men that are sitting here today, I believe this in my heart. I don't have a lot of men sitting here today that can cast out a devil, but I've got men and women here that can pray the prayer of faith and cast out devils. Jesus said your sons have the power to cast out devils. Another thing that's outstanding here in the lesson, he tells us how to get something from God. He gives the illustration of the man that's already in bed with his children that will not answer the door because his friend is at the door needing help, showing that even though you may have a friend, he may forsake you at a needed time. But he tells us here that because of a persistence, a perseverance, a drive that won't let up, an attitude that won't take no, he said, that man will eventually get up because he can't sleep. He can't rest. He's got to do something to get you away from the door. The night's gone. He won't be able to sleep all night long if he doesn't do something. He realizes that you're such a determined person that all night long you're going to trouble him and his rest is going to be gone. So he figures, well, I better just get up and trouble myself this little bit, get it over with, and then maybe I can get some sleep. God said, now, if this man would do that, how much more will God answer the call to them that seek after him, ask of him? How much more will God do for them? All right. He also gives us another lesson here. And that lesson is something that will help us to know that the devil can't be harassing us all the time. There's no need to let the devil harass you all the time. The devil will be talking to you, and the devil will say, you're not going to heaven. You know that you don't have anything from God. See, though you've been praying, though you've been fasting, though you've been seeking God, though you've tried to live just the very best that you know how to live, like Sister Dale was saying a while ago, but the devil will get right on your back, and he'll say, you're not one of them. You know, you don't have anything. But he'll say, what's wrong with you is you got a devil. The devil will tell you that you got a devil. Did you know that? Because he'd like for you to have a devil so he can go and fellowship him. And he'll get you so tore up, so nervous, so out of sorts, until you'll just be bleeding to death spiritually. But see, Jesus gives us a little thought here that will really help us. Now, he said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? I mean, what man is there in here that if his little son come and ask him for a piece of bread that would turn and try to choke him to death with a stone or give him a stone and send him on his way? Now, God knows that this is a radical talk as far as the human mind's concerned. This is way out, as the world would say. But he wants you to know. He takes great extremes, great measures of extreme to let you know that he's telling you the truth. Which one of you would give him a stone? Somebody said, well, that's absurd. Nobody would do that. Why talk about it? But yet Jesus talked about it. See, would he give him a stone? No, he wouldn't do it. He said, then if he asked for a fish, will he turn and give him a snake? Throw a serpent over in his hand? Somebody would say, oh, that's absurd. Why would anybody with good sense talk like that? Well, they know we know better than that. See, but Jesus took great measures of extreme. He wants you to understand. Would you give him a serpent if he come to you? You say, of course not. See, there's no hairline about it. You don't have to wonder, well, maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. The extreme is so great, you automatically can see it and know right off. No, I wouldn't do a thing like that. That's what God's wanting, a straightforward answer. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, if he come to you and he say, Mom, fry me an egg, you wouldn't put a scorpion in his plate, now would you? So the Lord said, now you see these great extremes here. Said, if you being evil, now you mom and you dad that's being evil, you've been a sinner. God's never sinned, never in eternity. But you being wicked, if you know how to do that, and even a wicked person out here in the world will prepare a good meal for their little ones. If you being wicked, and if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, he said, then well, why do you talk about me like you do? Why do you feel by me like you do? Why do you say like a lady did the other day that God don't care for my children? Why do you accuse God like that? Why do you do those things? Why is it you say I go through more than anybody? Why did you say the devil's on me all the time? God don't never give me a break. If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts, exchange from one to another, Christmas time or whatever, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to you good gifts, or know how to give you good gifts, or is willing to give you good gifts, or how much more will he give you of his Holy Spirit if you'll just ask him for it? Somebody would say, well, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 10 years and I haven't got it. You haven't sought the Holy Ghost. What it is, you'd like to have the Holy Ghost so that you could go to heaven. But you haven't sought the Holy Ghost. The Bible said if you'd ask for it, he'd give it to you. See, you haven't sought the Holy Ghost. What you're filled with your own ways. What you're doing, you are trying to get God to accept you on your human way of doing things and give you the Holy Ghost, just like the man did when he said, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I'll pay you some money for it. And the writer said, your heart's not right with God. You're in the bonds of iniquity, the galls of bitterness. That's why you don't have the Holy Ghost. But I'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask me for it. I'll give it to them. So he tells us here these things in such a way that if you and I will try to absorb these things, put them together in our heart and mind, then when the devil comes and you've been seeking God, Satan will come over and he'll say to you, why, you don't have God. You don't have an experience with God. You're not a Christian. But maybe you've been praying. Maybe you've been crying. Maybe you've been asking. See, and then you can turn around and you can say, wait a minute. The Bible says that if I ask God, he isn't going to give me a devil. If I ask God for something good, he isn't going to turn me into a devil. He isn't going to exile me and put me off somewhere over yonder in a lake of fire or make me some kind of blasphemer. I ask God for help. I ask God for salvation. I ask God to be with me. God isn't going to frown on me. God isn't going to reject me. I ask God to help me. You understand what I'm saying? So you can put him to silence and you can send him on his way. But if you don't live for God, if you don't make any efforts for God, if you don't try to be clean in your heart, you don't try to walk with Christ, you're never going to be able to have faith in the Word of God because it doesn't apply to you. There's no need of you trying to tell yourself nor God that you're saved because this scripture doesn't apply to you. The Bible is just exactly different to what it is here to the saint. That is, God said, I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. There is no rest to the wicked. Oh, the wicked is abomination in my sight. So then there is no faith in your heart for salvation. But now if you're trying to do what God tells you to do, you make a mistake and you stumble when you know that you was trying to do your best and you know that you didn't go after the world, then it applies to you. Now, when you let a thought get in your mind that ought not to be there, and some people, they don't even know nothing about what I'm saying. While they think so many thoughts, they just feed on them. They don't even know what it is to try to keep their thought pattern clean. While they think everything and anything, anywhere, all the time, they don't even know what it is to try to differentiate between thoughts. But if you are a clean person, that's bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, struggling to cast down imagination in all the high things that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. If you are trying to do that, then God's word applies to you. And in that it does apply to you, you can turn and boldly say that God is my helper. And when those things assail you and you get grieved and you think, my God, you know I love you. No, it won't that Jesus. So you can turn around and say, God didn't give me a serpent. God didn't give me a devil. I still got God in my heart. Satan, you did that. But that don't have any roots in my heart. Because the Bible said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself. And that evil one toucheth him not. Not one time out of all of Satan's endeavors through your entire lifetime. Not one time does Satan touch you, not one time. There is not one speck, one spot, one blemish, never. Not at any time. With all of his harassments, with all of his thoughts, with all of his accusations, it tears you up, gets you all tore up and gets you nervous and makes you just want to shoot up like a rocket or make you can't stay over here, you can't stay over yonder, you can't stay anywhere because you're just tore up all the time. You don't have to listen to that kind of thing. See, when you got the Holy Ghost in your heart, you got God, your spirit is sealed, and Satan never touches it one time. I don't care who accuses you, what accuses you. I don't care what you think. It has nothing to do with it. Not one time does it ever touch you. You are altogether without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. For the Bible said, he that is born of God, the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He keepeth himself, and that evil one toucheth him not. Did you know that God would not have a wife that Satan touched one time? Did you know that? A lot of times you might think that I'm jealous or somebody's jealous of their wife. They don't want men putting their hands all over them. But did you know God wouldn't have you for a wife if one person touched you? When Jesus came up out of the grave, the mother run over. The others run over. Those that could see. But Jesus said, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I am to be without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. I'm going to the Father. You can't touch me. Now, I know it can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But Jesus, that body that come up out of the ground, he said, don't touch me. See, God wouldn't even have you as a wife. But down here in this world, we are mixed up, messed up. Such a messed up situation. Ain't a woman living in the world that's pure. Not one in the world that's pure. And you just have to take what you can get and do the best you can. See, but God didn't intend it that way. That wasn't God's way. He wanted that woman to be just perfect because she is a church in his sight. She represents the church in the earth. She should be perfect. And the Bible tells the man, said, present your wife to you as a chaste virgin without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, precious to you, you know. And you try to do it, but that's impossible. You can't do it in this world. Only through the fact that you recognize that, as I was telling Brother Bill the other day, we was talking, that woman that you married is dead. She's gone. She's buried. She's no more. And you're living with a daughter of God, which is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Otherwise, you've got a nothing. I don't care who the wife is, who the woman is, you got a nothing. But when she is born again, you got a daughter of God. She's without spot. She's without wrinkle. She's without blemish. She's perfect in the sight of God. But nevertheless, God wants us to be pure. God wants us to be clean. And we do, in Christ, keep ourselves. And that evil one toucheth us not. We are holy on the inside. Satan never touches us one time. But if we could just take hold of this,
Learn how much strength that there is to be received in knowing this. The Bible teaches that my people perish from the lack of knowledge. Just to know and believe that I can never, as long as I live, be defiled. That the devil and the demons, thousands of them, that try to prey off of me and come down upon me and cause me problems, not one time can they touch me, that one iota be marked up against me. Not one. And then I am told in the Scriptures that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not one thing can separate me from the love of God. Heights can't do it. Depths can't do it. Things that's present can't do it. Powers can't do it, which takes in demons and takes in Satan. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. The love of God is so strong that it took the life of his own son, that I might be the apple of his eye. See, his love was so manifested through Jesus that today I am Jesus in his sight. He exchanged his own son for me that I might live forever. And Jesus died out of the presence of God that I might live in the presence of God. And today Jesus is gone, as the world would say. We know him no more after the flesh. He's dead. He's gone as far as the natural is concerned. We know him no more after the flesh. And it is I that liveth, Paul said, and yet not I that liveth. For Christ is not dead, but resurrected and alive forevermore. So then, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could there be a spot? How could there be a blemish? How could there be a wrinkle in the life of Jesus? They said, I find no fault in this just man. If I am the body of Jesus in the sight of God, and you're the body of Jesus, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, how then can anybody lay anything to your charge? Nobody can lay anything to your charge. The preacher can't do it. The neighbor can't do it. The brethren can't do it. Nobody can. They can't lay anything to your charge. For it is God that justifies. It is Jesus that died, yet he has risen again for our justification. So then, there is no spots. There is no wrinkles. There is nothing against the child of God. Now, when we get a hold of this, you say, well, Brother Pike, what good is that to me? Because this is the only way you can go to heaven. You've got to believe your way through every sin. And the only way you can believe your way through the world of corruption is by believing what he is in you and you in him. You've got to believe that you are him to be able to get through that corruption. Believe your way through it. See, faith, Enoch was translated by faith from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from revealing to revealing, from indoctrination to indoctrination, from precept to precept. Grasping. Like, for instance, the Bible said, be of good cheer. Don't be dismayed. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you say, well, God, what good is that to me? Because you overcome the world. The thing I'm interested in is whether or not I'm going to overcome the world. But see, you don't look at it like that. Now, do you? See, be of good cheer, he said. Because at Calvary, you overcame the world. When I died for you, that was you overcoming the world. And he said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. For they overcame him by the blood that was spilt at Calvary, the blood of the Lamb, and the words of their testimony, that is the confession of faith to what he had done in their behalf. So then, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that that was me dying at Calvary. And today that this is him living. Amen. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live with the Son of God. So then I am without spot. I am without wrinkle. I am without blemish. I am without any such thing. No man can lay anything to my charge because God justified me. I am resurrected from the dead to dynamo because I came forth from the ground through Jesus Christ my Lord. They buried the old man that was crucified at Calvary in the watery grave. I came up in the newness of life, and the minister by the Holy Spirit stood there and remitted my sins, and they're gone. As the song says, my sins are gone. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. I am free from sin. That which was old, my body, that me that was dead, folded up, laid away. And since the law only has power over a man as long as he lives, then it hath no power over me. Because I do not live in the world. I am not in the world. He hath chosen me out of the world. I died to the world. For all of those that belong to Christ, the Bible said that they have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. If you've still got the lust and the affections of your flesh, that you're following after those things, you've never been born again because you're not crucified to the world. Paul said, I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me by the body of Jesus. That when Jesus died there, that took care of the world, that killed it, put it out of my life, and it killed me and put me away from it. The natural, all of it was gone. Now then, I am dead by the body of Jesus to the law. I am free to be married to grace, the resurrected Christ. I am today free. I'm like Enoch was. Enoch was before the law. There was nothing in Enoch's day that could condemn Enoch. That's why he walked by faith, being the seventh from Adam, a type of the rapture. He walked by faith and he was translated by faith because there was no law against him. That was before the law ever came. But Paul said, when the law came, sin revived and I died. He said, for before the law came, like Enoch, I was alive. There was no condemnation that killed my faith, that cut me off from God. But when I looked in the mirror of the law, I saw how undone that I was. I saw my wretched image, like they sing that song of looking in the mirror. I saw that I had killed Christ. I saw that I was guilty. But then that old man served the sentence, was nailed to Calvary, done away with. And today I am alive forevermore to never die anymore. There is no spot, no blemishes, and that which is old was folded up and laid away. Amen. Now then I have eternal life. I am alive forever. I am not in this world. I am in the new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ. A new creature needs a new world. So I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. I am sitting in the heavenly places. I am free. Why do I need to know this? Because that's the route to heaven. That's how I got to heaven. If you can't follow that route, you can't go to heaven. Because Jesus is the Word, and the Word is a spiritual knowledge. And that is the door, he said to the sheepfold, or the door to heaven. You got to pass through that, through the dimensional glories to glories, through your tutoring until you come into sonship. For as long as you're children, you're different nothing from a child. You know, though you be heir of all, you don't differ anything from a servant, he said. But if I keep on being tutored, after a while, I come into sonship. And what is sonship? I come into the mind of Jesus that knows that I am free from sin. I understand the Scriptures. I understand the benefits of God. I understand what God done for me. I don't have to wander. I'm not in a wilderness. Not trying to figure it out, not moved or blown about by every wind of doctrine, but I know where I've come from and I know where I am at. We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. Amen. All right, so we see something here in this. It'll take just a few minutes to exhort you this morning. We'll let you go. But brethren, the thing that I am saying this morning is of the greatest of importance to your safety, of your assurance of heaven, of your wealth and blessings in this present world, the ability to be able to persevere. It's absolutely essential that you hear, know, and understand what I'm saying this morning. See, I am without sin in Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody says now, and I know you've got a little scriptural knowledge, and I can feel it jump like a rabbit, you know, when I say that. And if you say you have no sins, yeah, such and such and such and such and such. That shows that you don't know nothing about nothing. So you're just all balled up in your mind. And the Bible says when you think you know something, you don't know something that you ought to know. And that is that you don't know nothing.
That's right.
So you can take time to learn something. So then, we have no sins in Christ Jesus. Every scripture, line upon line, proves that there's no sin in Christ. He that is born of God cannot sin. He hath no sins. They're all taken away. Now, we are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The evil one toucheth us not. How then can we sin? The seed of God remaineth in us. And the Bible said he cannot sin because he is born of God. How then can there be any sin? There is no sin to a Christian. But as long as the devil can come around and use the scripture like he did to Jesus, saying, the angels got charge over you, jump down here. He said, jump down here, break your neck. You know, that's what he wanted him to do. Somebody said, well, Jesus could have never done that. Well, they nailed the nails in his hand at Calvary. He could have broke his neck if he'd have jumped off of there. You understand what I'm saying? The devil will come around and he'll quote a scripture. And you get in the same perverted condition that they get in with what they call the Georgia laws or whatever somebody's hatched up that isn't the laws that come from Parliament. You know, they call them Georgia scriptures too. Like Mike said the other day, they got all kind of laws, but they don't come from Parliament. They're not really laws according to the enactment of law. You get all scrambled up. You listen to all kind of preachers. You go from this lawyer to another lawyer, somebody said. You don't even know. You don't understand. But you need to find the Word of God, get in the Word of God, and understand the Word of God. Come together, you know, with the Word of God. Really get together. Understand your liberties in God. Because the court can pull you here and pull you there. And many a man has served a sentence that didn't deserve a sentence. Many a man has been sent to the electric chair that didn't deserve to go to the electric chair. Hadn't done anything to anybody. But he died while another man went free. See, you need to know your word of consolation. You need to know your word that God has given to you for your word of benefit. You need to understand it. That's why I tell you, when we know that we cannot sin, when we know that we're altogether free from sin, it's not a heaviness to serve God anymore. You don't get all up in the air, as we say, and feel real good. And go out the door and the devil strikes your mind and you go back down, you know, just like somebody let the air out of a tire and say, oh my God, I thought I was going to get my healing, I thought I was going to get my blessing, but I see now I'm a wretch, you know. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that, but you do believe it. Say, but I don't let myself believe it. Ain't nothing else you can do about it. It works down here, not up here. You can go around all you want to saying, I'm healed, and they'll still put you in the box, just according to the doctor's diagnosis. But brother, when you get faith in your heart, and you get convinced that you are born again, and you begin to know that His Spirit is with you because you are trying your best to be clean and holy, that you're not trying to be a hypocrite and just slip out of the presence of the brethren and get over here. And once you're out of the presence of the brethren and got the doors locked, nobody can hear you, start beefing, you know, and going on and barking like a dog and saying things and growling and like a dog over an old bone. See, you don't do that. You're children of God. It wouldn't make any difference if they looked on you while you were behind closed doors or in the street. You still have the same mind, the same heart. But if you're a hypocrite, you don't. Just as quick, you might come in the church, you might get illuminated, you might get all the dirt washed off. Just like any pig that got under the shower, but in just a few minutes. If they turn you loose, you'll be right back to your hog pen and you'll be in the same condition you was before you got under the shower. You understand what I'm saying? But brethren, when God has washed you on the inside by the washing of the water of the word of regeneration, you've changed generations. He has regenerated you. That is, changed you from Adam's generation of the flesh to Christ's generation of the Spirit. And the Bible said, who shall declare his generation? You find yourself declaring his posterity. Whereas he was cut off and could not declare his posterity. Today we do declare his posterity in the earth. So then we see this great thing. Who am I? What am I? Do I have to go out here in 1 minute be so cast down and so tore up and under such heavy load all the time when I could be a giant in God, when I could have faith moving like a locomotive working for me every moment and every second, healing and saving and forgiving and preaching the gospel and having God to meet my needs everywhere I go? Which should I be? Why should I then listen to something that isn't right? That's why the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. When you lean to your own understanding, it's full of corruption. You're born in sin. That's the tool the devil uses. And it's full of corruption. It's like an old bar room with old smelly bottles and all the other. You go back into that old rat den and you get back in there and you start thinking. You start thinking. And the first news you know, you're pricked in your heart and you're hurt in your heart. Forgetting those things out there. The Bible said, forget those things that are behind. Forget those people you run with. Forget those things that you knew yesterday that caused you those heartaches. Get away from them kind of things. Amen. Get in the mind of God and believe and love and walk in the presence of the Spirit. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. All the paths of God are peace. Amen. And any time you start having problems and you start having trouble and you get grieved, you know you done got out of the mind of God. You done got out of the path of God. You done got back in that old rat den. See, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the rat den. Walk in the Spirit. Stay in the paths of peace. Walk in the paths of peace. If you start to do something and all of a sudden that thing turns into a nightmare, it's time to stop. Find out what you've done. Because if it's a path of peace, it's from God. And if you follow God, it will be a path of peace. But if you are not having peace, there's something wrong with you. Serving God is peace. Peace. So then we can go out here after we leave the service this morning, whether we go to the cafe to get us a meal or whether we go to visit them, whether we ride down the road, we don't listen to this up here. We don't listen to the harassment. Our eyes, our human senses, our five senses, they're going to reflect. They're going to record. We're going to feel the static coming in. But see, we got a direct hookup on the inside. All of that static means nothing. We might pass through a storm. But the thing is, we're on the inside. We're sealed. We're closed in. And our foundation is on a rock. And the storm isn't going to bother us. We just go right on through it in peace. And after a while, when the clouds move back and the sunshine comes through, everything is just fine. Like yesterday when the storm come up, we were standing back out here and I looked and I know it's trouble when it gets dark back in here in this area. And it got dark, got real dark, and the wind started blowing fierce. And David come in and said, there's a storm, so we're in for a bad storm. Walked out and looked, and sure enough, that's what it was. And I said, well, we better pray right now. So we prayed. I said, now, God, I want you to scatter that thing. In Jesus' name, do it right now, Lord. We took our hand down, and the Lord just said, away it went. It went. It left. Why don't we do that in our heart? Why don't we do that? Have faith in God. See, when the storms of life come, don't let them just toss us about anyway. Just lock your hand in that nail-scarred hands, the song said. Hold me safe, Lord, till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder rolls no more. Till the lightning's forever gone or moved from the sky. See, hold me in the hollow of your hand, Lord. All we got to do is anchor. And we say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's going on. Like I told a brother the other night, a dark cloud came over him and he was tore up and just about ready to take his own life, just torn all to pieces. And I said, brother, I said, that ain't nothing but a dark cloud that's come over your life. That's all. I said, that's just a darkness that's dropped over you. I said, you know, when you get upset, somebody rubs you a little bit wrong, there's something that comes over you that you feel like if you could just knock his eyes out, you know, then you'd be happy about the whole situation. If it's a little worse than that, you think, well, if I could just slit his throat, long as I could get him out of my hair and get rid of him, I'd just be pacified. That's a devil, did you know that? And as long as that feeling is over you, you feel that way. But you've got to resist the devil. You've got to turn the love on the inside. You've got to consider that that man's a human being, that what he's done to you was a devil that done that, that person didn't do that. And then all of a sudden, the light will begin to break through and the cloud will move away and that feeling will leave you and you wouldn't have hurt him for nothing. See, and it's the same way when doubts and fears and worries and despondency and all of these griefs come over you. It's just you're just passing through a dark cloud. Just hold fast. You'll feel just like it's you. You'll feel just as wretched as you can feel because the thing just becomes interwoven with you. But it can't get into your spirit because your spirit is sealed. Like yesterday, Betty was making some preserves. She kept making peach preserves. And every time I'd come in, she'd have four or five jars sitting over here. She'd say, I want you to seal them for me. And I'd tighten them up, seal them up, you know, put them away for winter. I'd seal them up. That's the way God has done. The Bible said, the seal of God standeth sure, that God knoweth them that is his. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. God gave to Abraham the seal of circumcision that separated him from the world. Circumcision of heart to you and I. The veil is gone. The old man is dead. The outer man is dead. The inner man that's alive forevermore. The all outer man is moved away, and the inner man is showing on the inside in the brilliance and brightness of all the glory of God through what God has done for us. I am sealed in my heart. I am sealed in my spirit. The devil can't touch me. I am sealed just like those preserves are sealed. I am sealed. No one can break that seal. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that God has sealed me, but what happened was I broke the seal. Or what happened, I run into some trouble and they broke the seal and I just spoiled. Now, don't lie against the truth. You don't break the seal of God. You don't run into anybody that can break it. Jesus gives us a lesson here. And that lesson is, when before a strong man can spoil another man's goods, he hath to bind the strong man. Now, I've said this a lot of times. God can go in and bind the devil and kick him out and spoil his goods. But the devil cannot come in and kick God out and bind God and spoil his goods. No one can break the seal of God. No one. That's why the book of Revelation says when that book was brought up there that in heaven and earth no one can loose that seal. Jesus alone can loose it. When Jesus sealed you, you are that book. You're an epistle known and read of all men. No one can loose that. That's the seven church age seals over the church. No one can loose that seal. It's forever sealed till he himself gets ready to loose that seal. So we see the wonderful things of God that if we can take hold, if we can believe, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if we can take hold and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can believe what the minister is telling us about our benefits, listen to it, understand it, with wisdom, the Bible said, get understanding. Then when you know who you are, when you know what you are, when you know where you are, then you'll know your state of affairs here in this present life and in that extensive life that God has already given unto you. See, you can know, you can stand assured, and no matter what comes, you say, nope, I asked God for his spirit. He didn't give me a devil. That is, he didn't give me a serpent. I ask him for his spirit. I ask God to give me a tender heart. He didn't give me a stone, or that is put in me a heart of stone. That's gone. See, I ask God for peace. God didn't give me a scorpion, whereas the Bible said they'd be tormented by the scorpions during the tribulation period. He didn't give me this tormenting power that's trying to molest me. I am free. I am free. I am free. And in these things, we'll feel a strength like we've never felt before because our faith will set in there so strong that it won't waver. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. You'll get whatever you ask of God. You'll set right in there. And brothers, sisters, every day of your life, if you'll make a drive and a perseverance to get that old mind out, to straighten it up before you come into the service, straighten it up. Every time it comes on you, fight against it, resist it. Get it off of you. You know, a disease come on, you fight it. You don't just put up with it. If you take cold, you don't just sit there and say, well, I think I'll wear the thing out. You try to do something about it to keep pneumonia down. See, fight against the devil. Contend for the faith. Wrestle against him. Fight him. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness and powers that's in the high places. See, and after a while, you'll be the victor. You'll be the victor. You'll be the victor. And I'll tell you what, from victory to victory, from mountaintop to mountaintop, you'll go, and from blessing to blessing, your finance will come up. He'll make you rich and add no sorrow. He'll heal your body every disease. He'll deliver you from every oppression. Just don't listen to that mind that says it won't be. Don't listen to that. I don't care how you feel about it, how your body feels, how grieved and tired you are. Don't listen to nothing, but he said it. I believe it. That's the way it is.
Amen.
I want you to stand with me. Stand with the Lord. And the Bible said, having done all to stand. See, you do all you can to stand. Isn't that right? Having done all to stand, you do all you can. And then God knows that you can't stand after you've done all you can to stand, because your strength isn't sufficient. But he said, my grace is sufficient even when you've got problems with your sins. I got enough grace to take care of you. Peter, you've been cursing, but I prayed for you that your strength fail not. After that you converted, go strengthen the brethren. My grace is still sufficient to see you through the storm. So then God is saying to you and I, when you've done all you can to stand, stand anyway. Just say, I'm going to be strong in the power of his might. God said it. I believe it. I'm a son of God. That settles it. I don't care what comes, what goes. I'm a son of God. I am on my way to heaven. My sins have been forgiven. I am a son of God. And I'll tell you what, you'll find a happy day. You'll find a happy day. It's a happy day to be spent with God. You know, we use that song, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, there remaineth a rest for God's people that in that they did not enter into that day back in the wilderness. This is the day. Blessed and whole is he that hath part in this day, the first resurrection. The day sprang from on high.
Hallelujah.
Blessed and whole is he that can enter into this. For this is the day of rest. For the Lord rested from all of his work. He that has ceased from his own work, trying to be good, trying to get across, has learned to believe in God. He hath entered into
Hallelujah.
The rest of God, accepting the works of Christ. So, let's enter into his rest. Therefore there remains the rest for God's people, seeing that they did not enter in that come out of Egypt. But the Bible said, fear, lest there be left or cut off from you the promise of entering into his rest. Don't provoke him as they did for 40 years in the wilderness. Don't find fault with him nor his preacher nor his people. Lest there be, it be that you be cut off and you can't enter into that spirit, which is his day of rest. For this is the Christ day, the resurrected one's day, the day that the Lord hath made. I am hid with Christ in God, whom the Spirit hath received, the heaven hath received. My spirit is in Christ. I know you see my body in this world. I know that, but it's dead. It's gone. It's no more. It's nothing. It doth not yet appear what I really am. You just haven't seen it yet. Outshine the noonday sun. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I appreciate your attention. I appreciate you coming to be with us. I trust that tonight that you'll come back wanting something from God, wanting to grow in God. Folks, if you could just understand one thing, and that is the more you feed, the more you'll be able to abide in him,
Amen.
The Word. And he abide in you, the Word. That is, if you walk in the Spirit, you abide in him. You are in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Abiding means to continue. You are walking in him. And he in you, which means Christ, the hope of glory, or the Word on the inside of you. Faith. The more you do that, the more you'll grow. And the Bible said when you walk in him and he abides in you, you can ask what you will. I will do it. I will do it. Ask anything that you will. I will do it. I believe that. Or you say you don't believe that, Brother Pike, you just say, so help me God. I believe that. I believe that. So let's walk in the Spirit of God. Let's go with God. Don't doubt. Jesus said, don't doubt, just believe. Just believe. And I guarantee you, whatever is wrong with you, it don't matter what it is. I guarantee you, it's a lie and vanity, and it'll pass away. Now you say, how can you say that it's a lying vanity? I feel the pain of it. I feel the misery of it. But see, in God, it doesn't exist. Isn't that right?
Right.
In God, it doesn't exist. It's all in the B.C. before Calvary. It's all gone away. It was before the world ever was. In the mind of God, He'd done away with it. The Lamb was slain then, and Enoch took advantage of it before Calvary ever was manifested. So then, it don't exist in God. It's a lie and vanity. God will feed you. God will clothe you. God will take care of you. Bill told me this morning, he said, Brother Pike, there's one thing that I can truthfully say. He said, since I have been with you, said, we have never gone lacking. And said, we've been blessed everything that they could want. Bill's got it. As the average family and above the average family, Bill doesn't have any problems along those lines. Numbers of others are the same way. Let's just believe. Let's accept it. Let's don't get impatient. Within your patience possess ye your souls. Your impatience is what has robbed you. Let's be patient. All right, let's sing this little song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Can you sing it with me? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. You know, now I can feel the Holy Ghost, and I know you can too. That big eagle, she starts on a journey, and the storm begin to gather. The black clouds begin to billow up, and the winds begin to blow. And it begins to try to toss her to and fro in the clouds, because she's up there high. But that big eagle, it doesn't grow discouraged. It doesn't do like some of the other birds and take the tuck head and run to hide in the trees, which is not a safe place at all. But she just throws her wings back, tilts them a little bit, and throws her head back. And as the storm come and the winds blow, she just uses it for a stepping stone and rides higher and higher. And as the wind blows, instead of blowing her this way and that way and this way, it just blows her higher and higher. And then after a while, she's not afraid of the heights. She just keeps on soaring. And after a while, she is so high above those winds and storms, she just glides along and looks down on all the trouble, all the turmoil, the houses being torn up and the birds being blown to bits, dashed against the trees and whatever. She just keeps on gliding around, gliding around. See, that's what God is trying to get us to do, folks. He is not trying to hurt us. When the storms of life come, it's only an opposition to whet the sword. It takes that old grinding rock to grind the axe on, to make it good to where you don't have to put too much strength to it when you go to cut. Make it good and sharp. See, the storms of life are for one purpose. God is saying there's trouble in this world. There's trouble in this world. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. So then let's get out. He's trying to rapture us out from faith to faith and glory to glory. Let's sing that again. And as we sing it, let's remember that we are God's this morning. And He likens us to the eagles. And He takes us high above the storms. Let's sing it together, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew